Amen. We're going to go to the Word of God, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And I'm sure that everybody is familiar with Deuteronomy, chapter 6. I hope you are. If you're apostolic, you need to have this scripture memorized. You really do, because it is the greatest commandment in the Bible. And it gives us important understanding this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, Hear, O Israel, and we could say this morning, Hear, O church, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7, excuse me. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Everybody said, the house.
The house.
The house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So when we lay down, we talk about it, we quote it. When we rise up in the morning, we talk about it, we quote it. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house. Everybody said the house. And upon thy gates. And then if you go to chapter 7, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and let's go down to verse 26 this morning. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Amen. I want to talk about our house this morning and the importance of our house. Praise God, your house, the house of God, because God is into building houses. Amen. He is building a house for us, an eternal house. He said, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. Let's pray together, and let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for the Word of God today. We thank you for all that are here this morning. And we ask your anointing. We ask your blessing. We ask the blessings of the Lord upon the Word of God, and let it find its mark this morning in each and every one of us. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. We're going to be talking about the house. Amen. And it won't be too long here this morning, and all of us will be heading to the house. Praise God. When it was time to go home, my dad would say, Let's go, boys. We're headed to the pea patch. And I never did figure out what the pea patch was. But I guess it's the garden in the backyard or something. But it made reference to the house. Amen. And we knew it was time to go home because dad said that. I looked up the word house here, and it is bayith from the Hebrew. And it means something very special. It means a house. Amen. And so when we talk about what the word house means, it means a house. Amen. Or by extension, it also means a family. Amen. Or a group of people that live in a house. Amen. But especially a family. It's not a place where folks come and go all the time. But it is a place where we have established some things, amen, where we have put some things down that are permanent, very long-lasting. The house in which we live, I figured it out, and this August we've been there in the house for 20 years now. And my, how time flies. But before that, our house was through those doors right there. We lived in that side of the church. And that was our house for 4.5 years. Some of you may even remember that. And we were We were so thankful when we got our own house and we could have Sunday school here in the church. Amen. And so we moved into our house, and 3 months later, the flood hit Augusta, and two families moved back into the house where we lived, and it was 3 more months until we were able to have Sunday school here. But we finally got that behind us. Thank God for that. Amen. A house is a very important thing. It really is. And I don't have to tell you that. Some of you have been living in your house for a long time. How long have y'all been living in your house, Brother Tucker? 27 years. Amen. How long have you been in your house, Mike? Since you was 8 years old. Well, you don't have to tell us how many years that's been, because then that'll kind of reveal some things this morning. And we don't want to embarrass anybody, praise God, since he's 8 years old. Amen. And some of us haven't lived in our house that long, but a house is a very important thing. It's very important when the snow's blowing outside to have a house and to have a heater that works, and very important in the summertime when it's hot and humid and all of that, that we've got a house that we can live in. When it rains, we don't get wet. Amen. And it's a place of safety. It is a place of nurturing. It is a place where we express ideas. And those ideas are expressed not necessarily on a teaching level, where we sit down and we teach our children like we're having a teaching session here this morning. But we teach with our life. We teach by how we are every day. I've discovered that if you want hardworking children, get up and go to work every day and work hard at what you do, and your children will work hard. Amen. Because you're teaching something. There's something that's taking place in the house that is expressing something, and it is teaching something. The Lord made reference in the Bible to several houses. He made reference to the house of David. He made reference to the house of Israel. And in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 3:15, it makes reference to the house of God. Somebody want to get that scripture, and we'll read it here this morning. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 and verse 16. Amen. Brother Greg, are you there? All right. Who's there? Are you there, Doug? Read those two verses for us.
But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received of the Lord.
All right, some powerful scriptures there that lets us to know who God is. He was manifest in the flesh. And where do we get this real strong understanding of one God? We get it in the house of God. Amen. Verse 15 there. And it talks about the church. The pillar and the ground of the truth, the church which is the house of God. In the Old Testament, Egypt was spoken of as the house of bondage. And so we have quite a few different houses that we can live in. And let's look and see how God is interested in houses this morning. The house is a breeding ground for good or for evil. Amen. Luke chapter 11 and verse 24. Let's look at it here. And this is number one on my list here this morning, because it is very important. All right. There are good spirits and there are evil spirits. Amen. The angels are ministering spirits, the Bible says. that are sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Luke 11 and verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh in dry places or through dry places, seeking rest and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And so what we've got here is an understanding that a house is a very important place. It is the breeding ground for spirits. And I say breeding ground, it is a place where spirits dwell. Amen. Somebody said, is there such a thing as a haunted house? I really don't know about all that, but I do know that there are some credible things that people have said. And I do know that things that have happened in certain houses attract spirits. Amen. And what you have in your house attracts spirits. You can attract the angels of God with prayer in your house. Amen. You can attract the spirits of devils in your house by having pornographic material in your house, by having witchcraft items in your house. Amen. By having things that are not of God, that promote anti-God things. If you have that in your house, even though it is a very subtle thing, it will attract evil spirits. And here the Bible says that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now that is salvation right there. When you're born again, all those evil spirits are gone out of your house. Amen. They're gone out of your physical house. Amen. Now, I don't want to get crazy here this morning. I don't want anybody to think the pastor's going off the deep end. But I did pastor in a city on the East Coast a number of years ago, a long time ago, and they had 500 professing witches in the city of about 90,000 people. And there was animal sacrifices. There was a lady that was in our church. She came into the church, and she had a boy that she raised. It was not her own son, and he became a head of a witch coven in the area. They would go to the animal shelter, and they would get cats and dogs, and they would take them out in the woods, and they would offer them as sacrifices unto Satan. And the headlines would fairly regularly, where they would find witchcraft, pornographic, and all sorts of things out in the woods in that particular area. And we had a lady that had prayed through before I became pastor, and she was oppressed by an evil spirit. She did not understand faith in God. She did not understand that devils like certain houses where things go on. And she lived with her husband on the second floor of this apartment, and she was attacked. Now, again, the pastor's not going to get crazy here, and I don't want everybody looking for devils after this morning, but she was literally physically attacked by a spirit in her house. And it would come out of the corner, and it would attack her. And the people that lived down below thought it was her and her husband having a fight because they could hear it talking. And it wasn't until she found out about the name of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus, and she rebuked that devil, and she never had another problem with it at all. The spirits are real, folks, and the devil is real. He's not just a myth that we talk about. And neither are angels, the angels of God. They are not a myth that we talk about, but they are real entities in our world. Amen. Satan is a fallen angel. All of those that follow him are fallen angels. And they are walking. They don't want to walk in dry places. They don't want to be nomads going here and there and everywhere. They want to seek rest. Amen. And it says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Amen. That's great when the devil doesn't have a place to land. Amen. and he's just seeking a place, and he can't find a place. We want it that way. We want him all stirred up and out of here. Amen. We don't want him to have a little corner where he can rest in the church. We don't want him to have a little corner where he can rest in our house. Amen. We don't want him to have a little place in our life where he can rest. And so seeking rest and finding none, he says, I'm going to go back to my house whence I came out. And if he comes back, you go ahead and read the rest of those verses there. He comes back and he finds the house empty, swept, and garnished. It is clean. Amen. And the only way our house gets cleaned is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we're born again of the water and the Spirit, our house is clean. But it's very important that we keep our house clean. Well, praise the Lord. It's very important that we keep a clean house. And I'm not, well, I guess I am talking about using your broom and your vacuum sweeper and all of that. But even more than that, I'm talking about a clean spiritual house. Well, praise the Lord, because what we do in our house has some very important implications to it. Amen. And all of the things that are available to man can be found in a house. And we've heard the stories over the years. You can find anger in a house. You can find criticism in a house. You can find lust and hatred in a house. You can find love in a house. You can find acceptance in a house. You can find kindness and peace and joy. You can find all kinds of things in a house. Amen. And God gave us the materials so that we could build a physical house, but he's also given us the spiritual material in the Word of God to build a spiritual house. Amen. To build a spiritual house, to make different rooms in our house. Rooms of prayer, rooms of fasting, rooms of worship, rooms of commitment, amen. Rooms of the Word of God and the doctrine of the church, amen. And we can make our house what we want it to be, and we can kick the devil out of our house. Well, praise the Lord. We can kick him out of our house and keep him out of our house. Because the Bible says the only way that somebody can take over a house is they have to be stronger than the person that's in the house. Right. Amen. The police have a little motto, and they say if they come at us with knives, we come at them with guns. We're always going to be on top of things. Amen. We're not going to be falling short here because there is someone that wants to break into your house. Everybody's selling security systems these days. And everybody's concerned about break-ins. They're concerned about gangs. They're concerned about drive-by shootings and all of those kinds of things. We're very, very concerned about our house in a physical sense. I know what I would do if someone broke into my house. Because I've got a shotgun right there underneath the bed. I do. You say, Pastor, don't you trust in the Lord? I say, yes, I trust in the Word of God. And the Bible says that the only way a man can get into my house is if I'm not ready and I'm not prepared and I have something bigger than him. Amen. The devil's not going to come into my house because the Holy Ghost is bigger than the devil. The Holy Ghost is not going to come into my, or the devil's not going to come into my house because the Word of God is more powerful than him. Well, praise the Lord. He doesn't like when you got a Bible sitting out on your coffee table. He doesn't like to hear it when you're praying and you're reading the Word of God in your house. He doesn't. He'll go somewhere else where he can seek rest. He's kind of lazy in that way. He wants to find a hammock. Amen. He wants to find a bed to lay on. He wants to find a couch where he can feel comfortable. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I want some other things in my house. I don't want the spirit of the devil in my house, but I want the spirits of God, the ministering spirits. Amen. The angels that are ministering spirits that are sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Praise God. So when I come home and I hear Christian music in my house, it makes me feel good about my house. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I come into my house and I hear my wife, she's got her phone on the scriptures, and the scriptures are the audio scriptures while she's doing her housework, it makes me feel good. Amen. But it wouldn't make me feel good if I heard rock and roll music when I came in the house. And I haven't, amen, and I'm not going to, praise God. Let's make that clear this morning. Praise God. We're not going to attract things into our house that is not of God. And, you know, I could go down the list this morning. I don't have a list in my notes. But isn't it important that we keep the enemy of our soul out of our house? Praise God. You got to have somebody that's stronger and something that is stronger than the person or the thing that's trying to get into your house. Amen. I've got a 12-gauge shotgun. That's pretty good size barrel. And it has a calming effect when you point it at somebody. Amen. It helps them to calm down just a little bit. And I don't have a shotgun shell in there. I've got a solid slug in there. And if it hits anybody, it's going to hurt real bad, and it's going to be a bad day for them. Amen. If that doesn't work, I've got a pistol beside my bed, and it's very easy to get to. Amen. I know some pastors. Yeah, some of you are agreeing with me this morning. And I'm not a member of the NRA, so don't worry about that. Amen. But I believe in protecting my house. I believe in protecting my family and my home. Amen. I do. And I would not hesitate to pull the trigger. I would not hesitate to let everybody know that I'm ready for them. Amen. If they decide to do something stupid. Amen. Not supposed to use those words, are we? Praise God. But I think the devil's smart enough to know that he's going to lose the battle if there's the word of God in our house. Amen. That if while we're around the house, we're talking about scripture, or when we're driving down the road, we're talking about scripture. And that doesn't mean that you do it all the time, but it's a part of us. Amen. It's a part of our life. It's who we are. Amen. We're not interested in some new fad coming into our house. Because you've got to know what the Spirit is of. And the Bible says, do not believe every spirit that comes along. And it says to try the spirits to see if they are of God or not. That means that some things that come along are not initially evident. Amen. At the first, you don't know where it's going to lead. Amen. That's why the pastor is cautious a lot of times. Amen. Because we don't know where it's going to lead. We don't know what it's going to end up being. And so there are some things that we're just not going to be a part of. Amen. There's some things that we're just not going to do because we have tried the spirits to see if they are of God or not. Amen. Well, I guess I better look at the time this morning because I want to make sure that the chicken doesn't burn in the pot this morning. All right, that's number one, spirits. Amen. Number two, praise the Lord. There's something else I want to talk about here this morning. Leviticus 14 and verse 34. Let's turn to the book of Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus. Praise the Lord. Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 34, it says, when you become in to the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession. All right, so it talks about leprosy in the house. It talks about leprosy. And I've got that scripture on my notes, but I'm not at the scripture. I want to read just a little bit further here. Leviticus 14 and verse 34. And he that owneth the house and shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Amen. And so when they come into the land, and the Lord puts a plague, amen, the plague in the house. Now, this can go a lot of different directions here this morning, but leprosy was not just for people, but leprosy was for houses as well. And we know it more commonly here today as mold. Amen. Black mold can kill you. You can have a house that is dangerous to live in, and there's a lot of things that can be in a house. I read about somebody that bought a house. They moved into the house, and at night they heard this slithering and moving in the walls of the house and in the ceiling of the house. And they didn't know what was going on, and they began to investigate, and they found out later that they called it the snake house, because within the walls of the house, within up in the attic of the house, in the basement of the house, excuse me, it was infested with snakes. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I think I'd be giving it back to the bank. No, I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be right. Amen. I think I'd be, I don't know what I would do. I think I know what I would do. I would inspect the house first before I bought it. Thoroughly inspect the house. Get down in there and look around and find out what's going on. Amen. But sometimes there are things that come along. And why does it say that the Lord would put the plague in the house? And it would be because of sin. Amen. Remember in the Old Testament when the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, and the serpents bit many of the people, and many of the people died. He sent serpents among them because it was a representation of their sin. Amen. It represented the sin of rebellion that was in them. It represented the poison of sin that came to them. And so when the corruption of mold is a very, very serious thing, and it can literally kill you if you don't take care of it. And so they would call the priest, and the priest would say, he would look at it and determine whether or not it was a plague of leprosy or a plague of mold. And then there was different things that they had to do. They had to scrape down the walls. They had to take whatever they scraped off, and they had to take it out to a place where it could be burned. And then they would sit back, and they would they would wash the walls, and then they would sit back and for several days, an appointed number of days, and then the priest would come back and he would inspect the house again. And if it was leprous again, if it got too far, they would actually burn the house down. And they would have to build another house. That's pretty extreme, but in those days they had those problems. Nowadays we have central air, and we keep the air moving, and we don't have that problem so much. But there are times, folks, in a house, amen, there are times in your home, amen, where a plague will come into your house. Amen. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, there's an attitude in the house that wasn't there before. Right. All of a sudden in the house, there is a teenager that's just all of a sudden out of nowhere rebelling against their parents, rebelling against the rules of the house. And thank God for some rules of the house. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Because if there weren't some rules in the house, dear God, help us. Some houses would be filled with leprosy. Amen. It would be bad. And I know because I'm a parent, and I know because I talk to parents, and I've seen how bad a young man's room can get. Praise the Lord. One set of parents told me about food that had been left underneath the bed for such a length of time, and it was turning into a volcano of mold. Amen. And they're sleeping in there. And, you know, I guess for the youth it's cool, you know, I guess. I don't know. But thank God for some rules of the house. Amen. Not very many amens up here on the front row this morning. But I've got to preach to you guys. Amen. You're so close. You're just easy targets. Amen. But all of a sudden something comes up. All of a sudden a situation will arise in your house. Well, what do we do when there's a plague that comes into our house? I'll tell you what, we've got to inquire of the Lord. Amen. We've got to go back to the law. We've got to go back to what the law says, how to deal with this. And we've got to go through the proper ways. Amen. God, what is wrong here? God, what is happening here? And the Lord will show you what is going on, and it will be revealed. Amen. It will be revealed in your house. And I don't believe that God is into burning houses down. I don't think we have to tear up our family to fix a problem. Praise God. There ought to be love in our families. And sometimes that's very difficult because not everybody cooperates with that. But I'm telling you, there is such power in prayer. When you pray for your children, when you pray for your family, when you pray for your house, when you ask God to cover your house with His grace and with His blood, amen. And I'll tell you what, there's been times that I've walked around my house praying, amen, because my house is a very important place to me. To me, my house is a sanctuary where I can escape the world for a little while. Praise God, where out in the world I don't have acceptance many times, but in my family I can have acceptance and I can feel loved. I believe that's what we ought to strive for. Can anybody say amen this morning? And if you're single this morning, amen, just apply the same principles that we're talking about here, because it is very, very important. If there is a plague of leprosy that comes into the house, then we need to seek the Lord, amen, because some things are very serious, and it takes a lot of effort and so on and so forth to fix the problem. I pray to God that you never get bed bugs in your house. And I've never had bed bugs in my house. But lately I've come to recognize, they're saying that there may be an epidemic of bed bugs that is taking place. And many, many people that live in very expensive homes are coming up with bed bugs. They can produce, a female bed bug can produce, I've done a little bit of reading on this, and they can produce 1,000 offspring in just a matter of a few days. And they're very difficult to get rid of. And I found out that the way to get rid of them is you have to take everything out of the drawers of everywhere in your house. And you have to strip the bed down. You have to take the bed frame apart. You have to have follow-up sprays. You have to have regular sprays, because it's a very serious situation. It can actually become an infestation or a plague before you know it. And, you know, I don't know why it's this way. I think I do. Why is it that it is so hard to keep something clean and it's so easy to make something get dirty and unkept? Why is it that way? Why is it so easy to let things go to the dog, so to speak, amen, rather than to keep things in order? I don't know why. I think maybe the Lord just wants to know how serious we are about truth. But you let one little sin into the house, amen. Just let one little thing come in, and overlook it and give it a place to rest. It doesn't just stay there by itself. You read that scripture that we talked about there in the book of Luke, when he goes and he's out wandering around in dry places, he meets other guys that are wandering around in dry places seeking rest. And the Bible says he goes and gets seven others just like him, and he comes back and he moves back into the house, and the latter place is seven times worse than the former state of that house. Amen. We cannot let our homes be a breeding ground for sin and for evil. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. It's very important what kind of books we have in our house. It's very important what goes on our computer and on our telephones. Well, praise the Lord. It really is. It's very important. And, you know, I check the news out on my phone and my iPad, but really, I'm getting to the place where I'm not that interested in all of that.
Amen.
To me, it's not eternal, and it just has a way of bringing your spirit down. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Especially the last few weeks. I'm telling you, it's been disheartening. But... We've got to recognize that it's going to grow. Amen. All right. Thirdly, Deuteronomy chapter 7, number 3. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 26. And we read that this morning. Amen. Are you there now, Brother Greg? All right. Read that for us again. All right. He's talking about idols. He's talking about things that are not of God. And he says here, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house. Amen. God's interested in our house this morning. He said, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. And so what we have in our house is what we become. Amen. And I've got a feeling that what the house becomes is what we are inside. But there is something about you and I. Things don't just happen all of a sudden. They progress into things. Amen. Starts out with something little, and then it grows, and before you know it, it has completely taken over. And an idol is not anything that is real, but the Bible says here, that if we bring that into our house, we will actually become like it.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? That we will actually become like that which we have brought into our house. I want the Word of God in my house.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want the Lord in my house. I want the angels of God to be camping around my house. Amen. The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. I want in the realm of the Spirit, when I pull up to the house, the other day I pulled up to the house and it was getting dark, and I said, I pulled up. I always look my property over as I pull into the property there. And I said, what is that? There's a man over there beside my house. And he's walking up there beside the house, and it's dark. And I thought, I'm going to pull over there, and I'm going to look, and I'm going to see. And I just drove right up there to the house, big as Ike. Amen. And I said, who is that? And it was Brother Doug, and it was Hunter. He was mowing my grass, and they were doing some work around the house. But maybe you need to put on if you all going to be out there in the dark, you need to put on some sort of reflective something, so I don't go get my shotgun. Praise God. Because that's my house you're messing with there. I thought maybe it was my neighbor, and that got me nervous, you know. And I thought, oh, Lord, what am I facing here? Somebody messing around the house. But when I pull up to the house, if I could see in the realm of the Spirit, I'd like to see tents all around the house, and maybe an angel walking from one tent to another, and another one with binoculars looking around, checking the horizon, and another one up in a tower looking down and looking around. See anything over there, Michael? No, I don't see anything, Gabriel. Everything looks okay right now. And before you know it, the angels of Satan are far, far away. Don't get near that place over there. Because if you show up, they're going to start quoting the Word of God. If you show up, they're going to start praying. If you show up, the angels are going to get up and they're going to fight against you. Amen. I want my house to be a house of protection. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I really do. And God knows the danger of becoming what we are, or what is in our house, rather. But you know what? When we put the Word of God in our house, we're going to become like that. Amen. When we put prayer in our house, that's what we're going to become. Amen. When we put it on our door, I'm tempted to, you know, on the post of the deck where I live, when I come up to the house in the back door, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I'm tempted to do that, or get a little sign, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And over the top of the door, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Amen. And somewhere in the house on the wall, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." It's the greatest thing that we could ever have is God and a knowledge of God, a knowledge of, excuse me, of who He is. Because you know what I want to become like? I want to become like Him.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. What you've got hidden under your bed is what you're going to become like. If it's old moldy food under your bed, that's what you're going to end up becoming like. One day you're going to wake up, Nathan, and you're going to be covered in mold. You're going to say, "How did I get to this place?" Well, it started with that quarter of a bologna sandwich that you didn't want to finish. And then it grows. And Mom's back there saying, "It's right." And she never told me anything, and I haven't heard anything about this. But if it works, amen, then it's time to go home and clean out underneath your bed.
Amen.
Why is it getting quiet in here this morning? Praise God. You know, you've just got to take care of business, because what is in your house is what you become. Amen. And Jesus spoke of houses. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Amen. If we put light in our house, then the thing that is an abomination, we'll be able to see it. Amen. When we have light in our house, we'll be able to see the mold on the wall. When we have light in our house, then it gives light. We'll be able to see those spirits that are not of God, and we will be able to give light to those that are of the light. Praise God. In other words, the Lord is trying to tell us here in the Word that we cannot hide what goes on in our house. Amen. You might have it over in a corner where nobody can see it, but what goes on in your house is very important to God. Amen. I'm sure not going to let the things of this world come into my house. Amen. This anti-God, this anti-everything that we're seeing rise up. And folks are saying, "Oh, thank God for our president." Hey, I'm telling you, if he is as great as everybody's talking about, it's a little bit scary, because in 8 years he's going to be gone, and I'm not sure we're going to get anybody that's got this kind of courage and leadership ability. Amen. I'm looking at situations where all you have to have against you now is an accusation, And if it's an accusation by a woman, it's got to be believed. If it's by a man, it's got to be doubted. Amen. We're living in a time today where truth doesn't matter. Amen. People's agenda is what matters. Amen. And I'm afraid that the day is going to come when they're going to think about this, and they're going to say, all we've got to do is get three or four people to make an accusation against the pastor. Amen. Or against this preacher or whatever. And we can bring them down and we can destroy them and we can take over the churches. I'm telling you what, Satan is, it's not beneath him. Amen. He would do that in a heartbeat and he would laugh himself silly. Amen. Really, I'm telling you, we're living in a day today where the spirits of hell are unleashed, and I believe we're living in the last of the last days. Amen. And they're trying to make us think a certain way. They're trying to make us so that we can't say certain things, limiting our free speech. Amen. In China, after that ruler took over, now they have a campaign of the unity. Sounds good, doesn't it? We're going to have unity in our country. And it's going to be unity of thought. Amen. And so what we're going to do is we're all going to think the same way. And the way we're going to think is that there is no God and the Communist Party is all, and we must work for the better good of everybody. Amen. I saw just a picture in New York City in Central Park, tens of thousands of young people, and they were coming for some festival of the world community, a world community festival. And so that we're one world and that we're all one together. Sounds really good, doesn't it? But I'm not one with communism. I'm not one with socialism. I'm not going to get political here this morning, but I'm telling you what, communism is atheism. Socialism leads to atheism. Amen. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. There is a God, and he is alive and he is real. And if they would be honest, they would say that it is the churches that is blessing our land today. Instead of cursing them and putting them down, it is the light. Amen. We are the light of the world. And folks, if we go out, the world becomes dark. Thank God. Thank God for the houses. Amen. Thank God for your house. Wherever you are, it's a light that's shining. And don't be deceived and don't think that you're insignificant. I've got a feeling that wherever your house is located, there is a glow around your house. Because the angels are angels of light. And when you come into that house, you've got the Holy Ghost in you. I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost isn't just confined to your skin. Amen. There's a glow. There's a heavenly glow around all of us. Praise God. One elder minister says that we have halos around our head. I'm not going to go that far. I've never seen a halo. But in the realm of the Spirit, we are the children of light. And when we walk into darkness, don't you know that when you walk into a house, you can feel the spirits of that house? You can. I can. Amen. You walk into a house where there's evil, and friend, I'll tell you what, the hair on the back of your neck stands up. Because there's an opposition of light and darkness. Amen. We can feel that. And don't tell me today that when we walk into a house to teach a Bible study and there's sin and iniquity in that house, that the spirits that are in that house kind of back up a little bit. And they give room and they say, well, let's just cool it until this is over with and then we can come back in. It happens. It really, really happens. So what takes place in our house is very important. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Matthew 7 and 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, amen, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house. He built his house upon the rock. Amen. How do we build our house upon the rock? We hear the word. Everybody said we hear the word. Where are we going to hear the word? We're going to hear the word at church.
Amen.
Somebody said, is it important to be faithful to church? It is very important to be faithful to church.
Yes.
It's essential that we be faithful to the house of God. Because we are receiving something. Even if it's just a little nugget that you receive. It may be that one bullet in your gun that you're going to need when the devil comes along. Praise God. Amen. Now, again, you know, I harp on this, and I'm not harping. Actually, I'm preaching it. But I'm telling you, if you can be in the house of God and you skip, there's something wrong there. You need to go back and go through your house. Amen. And check out what's more important. What do you do if you can make it and you can't make it? And if you can't make it, we understand. Amen. Well, praise God. I do. I'm a very understanding person. But if you can, well, praise God. Here comes the devil. If you can be in the house of God, then I have a question for you. What do you do when you're at home and you're not in church? What do you do? What is it that's more important than being in the house of God? And it will be very revealing to you. And you can say, there's a plague. Amen. And there's this, that, or the other. Well, praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Everybody said diligently. Thou shalt talk of them. Everybody said talk of them. Amen. When you walk, when you lay down, when you rise up, teach them diligently unto your children. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're running out of time here this morning, but I'm telling you, what we give to our children is what they will become. And if you're half-hearted about church, they're going to be less than half-hearted about it. If you're half-hearted about prayer, they're going to be half-hearted about prayer. Praise the Lord. You can't fool kids. You can't fool them. You can't fool them. No, you can't. Well, praise the Lord. You can't fool kids. You can't. You can say it all day long. My dad used to say, don't smoke cigarettes. You know what? He smoked 4 packs a day. A day. That's a lot of smoke. That's a lot of cigarettes. Back then it was 25 cents a pack, I think, something like that. But dear God, help us. 4 of them a day. And when I got out on my own and I was free to do whatever I wanted to do, I had just started smoking. And I was smoking 2 packs a day. I was headed down the same road that my dad was. And I love my dad. I really do. I wished he was here today and I could sit down and talk to him. Amen. I'm telling you, you can't fool kids. What you are is what's going to be in your house. And so what I'd like to say this morning, he built a house. But let's build the house right.
Amen.
Build it right. Don't do a halfway job.
Right.
And I've done halfway jobs because I didn't have time to do it the right way. But guess what? Somebody said, I think it was Brother J.T. Pugh. He said, that which isn't done right first will have to be, you'll have to go back to it and fix it later, and it will cost more to fix it later than it would have to do it right the first time. It's true. Going to build it on the sand. Well, in 6 weeks or a month or a year or two, all of a sudden there's a big crack in the wall. What's going on with my house? It's a brand new house. Well, it's settling because you didn't build a foundation underneath it. You know what it costs to put a foundation under a house that's already built? That's a lot of money. Whole lot more than before you even started, just put the foundation down. Praise God. You know how hard it is to tear a window out and maybe destroy some of the siding and have to put new siding in because you put cheap windows in at the first? Better to do it right if you can. If you can afford it, just do it right the first time. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's build our house on the solid rock. He built his house by hearing the word and doing the word. So here we are this morning. We're hearing the word, but when we walk out the door of the house, what goes on during the course of the week, what goes on in your home is really how you're going to build the house. Amen. Praise God. It's not enough. It's not enough to have the set of blueprints out on the table. Right? This is our house. This is how we're going to build our house. It's not enough just to have the blueprints sitting on your coffee table. Do we actually look at the blueprint and see, oh, we've got to dig it down 3 feet right here. We've got to make it 16 inches wide and 8 inches deep. That's a lot of concrete. And nobody's ever going to see it. Nobody's ever going to know if it's there or not. Well, let's just cut a corner. No, you got to get the blueprint out, and it can't be just a decoration in the house. Amen. It can't be a plaque on the wall that says, we have a blueprint in our house.
Right.
Praise the Lord. It's like going to a restaurant. And we've been going to Cheddar's after church on Sunday morning, so I'm going to be on time. I want to beat the Baptist to Cheddar's. But you show up to Cheddar's and they give you what's called a menu. Has anybody ever seen a menu? And Brother Mike, we've got him addicted on Philly cheesesteaks. He's going to have a Philly cheesesteak today. And you say, well, I want that Philly cheesesteak. Oh, well, I'm sorry, we don't have Philly cheesesteaks anymore. Oh. I can see a look on your face. Oh. Well, and you look down a little bit further and you say, well, I want that dinner portion of the country fried chicken. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have that. Oh, okay. So you shake the menu a little bit, and you look a little bit further down, and you say, well, I'll take a half a rack of ribs. That's my job. That's my deal right there. And the ribs and tenders, the wife gets the tenders, I get the ribs. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have that. Well, after a little while of shaking the menu, okay, what do you have? We have the menu. You have the menu. Yes, we have the menu. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, we have the Bible. No creed but Christ, no doctrine but the Bible. And we open it up once in a while when we come to church. We have the Bible. It'd be like ordering all the wood for your new house, putting it out there on the ground, and 5 or 6 years later, somebody says, what's all that? Oh, that's my house.
Right.
What's it look like? Oh, I got a blueprint that'll show you what it's looking like.
Right.
No, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. Amen. That's like somebody that's building on the sand that hears the word. Oh, pastor says I need some 2x4s. Well, let's put some 2x4s out there on the ground. What's that for? That's my house. No, it's not your house. You got to get the blueprint out, and you've got to say this board goes with this board this way. And you got to have certain size nails, and you've got to put them in there. And dear Lord, I used to do it too, complain against the building inspector. Amen. You got to do it this way. If you don't do it that way, I'm not going to pass it. Well, man, he's just sticking to the rules. Some folks feel that way about the pastor. Amen. Just sticking with the rules. Why has he got to be so nitpicky? Why has he got to get down to the very, very specifics? Down there where Brother Riley lives, if you're going to build a house down there, you got to put the walls up, and then you got to put steel straps all the way around the house every so often and nail them in, and it's all got to be anchored. And you know why? Because down in that part of the world, they get hurricanes.
Right.
Amen. And you better have your house built right or the roof's coming off.
Amen.
The wall's going to collapse. You may die. Everything is going to be lost. All your money, all your time and energy, it's going to be for nothing because you didn't build it right. And you know what? The Bible tells us, I'm finishing with this morning. The Bible tells us that there is coming a day when everything is going to be tried by fire, and every work that we've done is going to be tested, and it's going to be tried by the Word of God. Amen. You can't hide it in your house forever. You can't hide it. Amen. You've just got to get out and do it the right way so that when the storm comes through, the house is going to stand.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Do you love him this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us, let's see, where is that scripture? Psalms chapter 127 and verse 1. I want to finish with this morning. Psalm 127 and verse 1, a song of degrees for Solomon. So David was writing a psalm to his son or for his son. And he said this, because Solomon was going to be the one to build the house of God, right?
Yes.
David laid up the materials, but Solomon was going to build the house. And so David gave him some instruction here in a song. And he said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Praise God. Meditate on that this week. Except the Lord build the house. Amen. There's going to come a day, young men, there's going to come a day, young ladies, when you're going to get to build your own house. Amen. You're going to get married and you're going to establish a home and a family. I know you think, oh, that's way, way out there, but it comes a lot quicker than you think. Amen. It's good right now to remember to do it the right way. Make sure you build it according to the blueprint, because you can't cut corners and get by with it. Somebody said amen. Amen. 27 years. Did you build that house, Brother Tucker? Did you have somebody build it for you? It was already built. Amen. This church has been here since 1948. I own a building that was built in 1920. And they put it on solid rock. It's sitting on solid rock. And that thing hasn't moved hardly at all. There's a few spots in the middle that have moved, but it's solid. It's solid because somebody took the time. We were painting out back here yesterday, and I looked down at the foundation, that concrete foundation. Underneath each one of these pillars, there's a concrete pad, and it's probably about this big, and it's thick. Every single one of them. Down through underneath right here in the center, there's some big concrete pads all the way. All the way over there, concrete pads under each one of those pillars. Amen. Somebody spent some time, and you didn't know that it was there. And you probably, some of you will never get underneath there, and just to check it out and look, see what it looks like. And that's okay. It's just a part of the foundation. And there's parts of your life like prayer and fasting that's going to end up being that big old concrete thing underneath that pillar.
Amen.
Consecrations and dedications that you make that nobody knows about, that's way down deep, and nobody will ever see, but that when they look at your life, they'll say, my, you're blessed. You must be special to God. You're so blessed. Oh, I'll tell you what, 9 times out of 10, the Lord said in one place, that which is done in secret shall be made manifest out in the open. I want to put some more concrete down there. Let's call in another truck. Amen. Let's just call in another truck. And let's just pour it. Let's dig it a little bit deeper just to be on the safe side. The pillars that hold that front porch up there, I put in the concrete pillars that hold that up. I did that. And I dug it out by hand, and it was a pretty good size hole. And I dug it down. I think the code is 3 feet. I went down 4 feet. That front porch hasn't moved a bit. It's still standing there strong. When I built a deck in Massachusetts, the young building inspector, he was feeling his power and authority, and he was going around, you know, cutting everybody off and whatever. You can't go forward till you do it my way and whatever. And so I asked him, I said, how deep are these holes got to be for my deck? They got to be 3 feet deep. I said, all right. They got to be so much in diameter. I said, all right. So I dug my holes. I called him up, said I needed an inspection. He gets his tape measure out on the first hole, and the tape just keeps going down in the hole. He looked at his tape. He looked at me, pulled his tape up, went to the next hole. Tape just kept on going down in there. He measured about 2 or 3 holes, and he said, it's good. He didn't even look at the rest of the holes. And from that point on, we didn't have any problems. Amen. Because he knew I was going to do it the right way. Praise the Lord. Do you want to do it the right way? Or do you want to do it your way? It makes a big difference. Let's stand together this morning. Somebody ought to just shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Isn't it awesome, the Word of God? It's just awesome. The Word of God is just so awesome. Amen. And I want to close this morning, let you know that God is our healer today. Amen. If you want to come and pray for healing, we're going to sing a chorus, but I want you just to come, and if it's not healing, if it's something else, I want you just to come on. Amen. If there's something broken in your house, let's get it repaired, and let's move on for Jesus. Amen. Isn't God good? God's so good. Let's lift our hands and give Him thanks this morning. I praise you this morning. I thank you this morning. I praise you this morning. I lift up your name in the sanctuary today. I give you honor, praise, and thanks this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of